Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, A Wonderful Approach family. This is Khadija Seven. I am your host for the evening. I want to thank everybody for taking the time out of their busy schedules, because I know all of us are taking this day as an opportunity to catch up with your shrine duties, get your fasting in, get your wipes on, do all this wonderful things to help strengthen our spirit. So in the middle of all that, I'm ever so thankful that we take a moment to kind of connect with each other and build with each other, and we do this on the radio. We do this so the hopes that someone else can also learn and benefit as we're going through our learning process. I want to say hello, a very special hello to all of those travelers that went over to Sapelo Island with A Wonderful Approach and Mother Eagle Ministries. This is a trip that we do annually. It's tradition. It gets stronger each year. Each year has its own set of lessons to give to each of us. And I'm always excited to get there. I'm always excited to get back too. I miss my my boys. I miss my fur babies. And, you know, but it's always wonderful to go. The spiritual energy there is in a very raw state. You know, there hasn't been a lot of development where we stay on the island. And so it feels like a journey back into time where actually where spirituality was more of a commonplace. It was intertwined in their lifestyle. It was intertwined in their food. It was intertwined in how they interacted with nature. All of this stuff was right there. And every time we go, you know, our cell phones don't work, which is turns out to be such a wonderful blessing not to have to be on, whether that's on the phone or on for our usual home duties or work duties. It really gives us a chance to step away, and it's very important to do that every now and again. It helps you to keep things in perspective. It'll help you to high level something real, real quick. So, you know, for all of those that journeyed over, you know, I want to congratulate you for putting you first, putting your spirit first, allowing yourself and your spirit and allowing that whole exchange to develop you. If you didn't get a chance to get over, I'm not going to shake my finger at you, but I am going to encourage you to start to make plans now. Mama Khadija always goes during the hottest day of the year. So you can look at the calendar for next year and find out which the hottest day it is, and that's where we're going. Start saving up now for that type of stuff. Read up on it. You know, the Gullah Geechee culture, which is very prevalent at Sapelo, that culture is very unapologetic about who they are. They have festivals during the year. There is a Friends and Family Day, I believe, actually at Sapelo in October. So, you know, if you didn't get a chance to go out during the retreat, you know, I don't know what to tell you. All I can tell you is that the island is still there. We left it in one piece. And if you get the opportunity, make plans to either go on a Friends and Family Day or go next year. You know, start making your spirituality a priority, because if you don't, no one else will. You know, sometimes we have to really put the brakes on life, because life will drag us. Boy, that job will have you thinking you're so important until it's time to replace you. So, you know, those kids will act like they can't live without you. until they're in their own car, own apartment, and they're like, peace, you know. So we have to start putting some things for ourselves first. And your spirituality is the best thing that you can put above all else, because that's going to lead you to a stronger you. So as we're all recuperating from the trip, I just wanted to say a special shout out to those that took that journey. And if anyone that was on that journey, you know, wanted to call in, wanted to press one later on in the show and just share something about your experience. Remember, everyone's allowed to have their own experience, and it's allowed to be private. But if you want to share something about your experience, you know, please do. Please do. It's always a wonderful thing. Well, I am super duper excited about this this evening's show. But before I do, I want to just let everybody know who we are. A Wonderful Approach is a spiritual education and development organization, okay? All positive thoughts and energies are welcome here. This is our meetup. We do this every week. This is our classroom. And in our classroom, we're here to learn. And we do every week. I know I do. I take advantage of the time. I take advantage of the people that come forward and share their information and share their science. There are some people that are really, really dedicated to their work, and we get the benefit of having them share with the organization, with the group. So I always come with my pen and paper, and I love it. We are family here. There are no silly questions. Trust me, the only silly question is the one that you will not ask, okay? And even though this is radio, we come together intentionally to learn. In order to learn, there must be an understanding that you don't know everything. So, I mean, if you did think you knew everything, I can relieve you from that weight and that burden. You don't. As much as I like to think I know, there's still so much that there is to gather, to experience, you know, to learn and to have the information in your brain is one thing. But then to turn around and apply the information is a whole nother muscle. So, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, speaking, working, building each other so that when it's time to use that muscle, we're ready. We are ready. But this is what you're experiencing is that what you're experiencing is a collective. And I always want to be very clear on that. The callers that call in make the show just as much as I'm sitting here on the show. You know, I absolutely love the work and everyone that gets to participate. So I wanted to just say that. The way we participate is you press one. So when we get into the show, you'll hear me. You don't have to always wait for me to say it, but you press one, and that lets me know, hey, I'm ready to contribute to the show. And don't worry about saying the right thing, saying the wrong thing. There is no right or wrong. There is only opportunity, okay? And sometimes I love to hear just people say, hey, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm with you. So that is always welcomed as well. So, and also, I want to say this out loud. A Wonderful Approach is a collection of different religious preferences and spiritual experiences and experience levels, okay? So when you think about A Wonderful Approach, it's not just one way. There are multiple ways, you know, when they talk about ways or paths or everything like that. And we're trying to find a wonderful approach, you know, a wonderful way. So I just wanted to, you know, reiterate that we are very diverse in our understanding and in our practice. So, you know, the diversity is more than welcome. And we diverse age, orientation, social economics, and experience level. The experience level is vast. With us all still being babies, understanding God's will for us. Okay? So last week we spoke about What I Wish I Knew. And it was a cute show. It was one of the first shows since our co-host, Mama Khadija's spirit pulled her. It's okay. It happens. But Mama Khadija has co-hosted with us for a year and a half. And so, and she has been faking it with us probably for the last 2 or 3 months because spirit is like, you have work to do. So she has been pulled off onto her assignment. And one of the first shows that I did afterwards was What I Wish I Knew. And what that did is it gave us a chance to reflect on what you wanted to know about life. You know, what we wish we knew earlier. You know, some of the highlights on that one was life is a process. Be patient. Yeah. Life is precious. Don't waste it. You know, a sister called in and touched my heart and reminded us that everybody's not always, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. Our loved ones aren't promised tomorrow. Don't waste opportunities to talk, to share, to be with, to experience. And I really, really appreciated her insight in that because a lot of times we will waste time on some of the most pettiest things. And then when this person is pulled from us, you know, especially suddenly, it's like, wait a minute, I wanted to say, I wanted to do. So one of the things I wish I knew was, you know, life is precious. Don't waste it. And one thing that stood out for me was allow yourself to make mistakes. You know, that is ever so key. Mistakes are a part of how we learn. You know, even though we don't want to make mistakes, I know I don't. I try so hard to do things the right way, do things the first time the right way, so I don't have to go back and rethink. But a part of life is making mistakes. So we have to be able to make the mistake and then learn from it. Because if you learn from it, to me, it's a lesson, not necessarily a mistake. So make your way, be okay with it, and build from there. So it was a really nice show. We had lots of callers call in. I really appreciated the love and the support because, you know, when you're stepping out there, it's like, hey, I'm out there. Where's my support at? As I'm trying to support my community, and they showed up. Like Mama Khadija said they would, not a doubt in my mind. This week is a very special show. This week is dedicated to a little irritating white dog named Nico and the most beautiful long-haired black cat you'll ever see called Juju. These are our little fur babies that are now angels. We've had some transition ever so recently. And so as Spirit always leads us and directs us. When I was thinking about these two beings, because both of them were very, very spiritual beings. You know, if you look, I have a mini farm in my house, and some of my cats are cats. And then one of these cats was just a little spirit. I just knew it. Stayed in the shrine room. We drank the shrine water all day long. And, I mean, he was just a character. And I started thinking about the animal signs that we see all around us. Like this weekend in Sapelo, I got almost face-to-face with a deer. There was a nice-sized deer there. There was an alligator in the crossing. Leaving, I got to see dolphins. It was just an amazing trip. And then to have so much nature. There was a lot of natural and nature exchanges going on. So as we were going through all these, I was like, you know, nature is really showing up, trying to tell us things. You know, I pay attention to the tracks in the red clay road. You know, whose tracks are these, and what does that look like? And you know, I pay a lot of attention to when these animal signs are popping up. You know, what was I thinking about? What was I doing? And so, you know, it's important. So I was like, you know, let's spend some time talking about animal signs, or really any signs in nature, but particularly the animal sign. I love nature and spirituality. I tell everyone, you know, I believe in the birds, the bees, and the trees. You know, every lesson that we have to learn, and every lesson that is for us, I believe, can be found in the birds, the bees, and the trees. And if you look at our current environment, that's ever so true, ever so true. You know, unfortunately, we're killing our trees. You know, our environment is suffering. You know, there's studies, and they're trying to create bee habitats, you know, because the bees are so pivotal to maintaining our environment. So when it comes to spiritual animal signs, I get a little excited, because this is where we get a chance to kind of shine our light and pay attention to what nature is trying to tell us. Spiritual signs, understanding what spiritual signs are, okay? For me, spiritual signs are just about anything. But spiritual signs, for those that are just beginning or may not be clear on how to differentiate my feelings with spirit trying to communicate, these are the things that, you know, you are drawn to, but you don't understand why. You keep seeing them, and you don't understand why. Like, I have four totems, and one of them is a hummingbird. And this hummingbird, I don't actually physically see a hummingbird, not often, but I'll see someone will be wearing hummingbird earrings, and I'm like, they'll catch my eye and just hold me there for a minute. I'll have to go to Hummingbird Lane. I'll spend a whole week where either the word hummingbird, pictures of hummingbirds, all of these different signs will come about, and I'm like, okay, I get it, hummingbird, you know. And then I won't see any signs. I won't see it at all anywhere. So, you know, the signs are not always, because we don't get to interact with a lot of our totems. Like, we don't get to see lions walking around. But lions and lioness will walk right into your dreams. You'll find yourself drawn to pictures of lions and, you know, searching them up and just trying to read about them and just understand more about them. And so when it comes to spiritual signs, sometimes they are the actual animal. Sometimes they are in dreams or in visions or just in our life. It's just everywhere where we've turned, you keep seeing this animal or representations of this animal. That's God trying to tell you something. One of my favorite songs from The Color Purple. But that's God trying to tell you something. That's God trying to let you know, hey, understand and pay attention to what's going on. And different spiritual signs, different animals mean different spiritual lessons. And so it's important that you, once you realize, okay, I keep thinking about this owl. I keep seeing the vulture circling above, and it's doing more than giving me the willies. You know, I'm looking at it, and I can't take my eyes off of it. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And so, you know, it's important that you recognize it for what it is, and then let's do some research on it. And so we're going to talk about a couple of the spiritual signs that we see, you know, some of the more common animals. And then if you would like to, of course, share some of your experiences with your animal totem. If you have an animal that, earlier when I said I have four animal totems, there are, depending on what's going on in my life. There are four different animals that communicate with me. You know, I'll see pictures of them. I'll have dreams of them. I'll have other spiritualists tell me, oh, wow, you know, this wolf energy is so strong with you right now. And then I know what that means. I paid attention. Okay, when this energy comes into my life, it means that. When that energy comes into my life, it means this. And so when you're paying attention, you will start to notice how all of these things work. And then you'll get smart. I haven't quite gotten smart yet. But then you'll get smart, and then you'll start to say, okay, I'm noticing that when I do this, this happens, you know. So you'll start to try to get ahead of the wave. You know, a goal, a wonderful approach is to get people proactive, not just up to par, not just steady, but let's get proactive. You know, we're walking, we have been in the year of Oya this year, year of transition, year of quick transition, and sometimes chaotic transition. But no matter what, you're going to change. And everyone I know has gone through some kind of change, whether it's at work, whether it's in their relationships, whether it's at home, you got to relocate from this house to that house, whatever. This has been the year of change. Whether you like change or not, this is the year of change. So you have to, I would strongly suggest that you embrace it and then learn how to maneuver in it. So that's how I feel about the animal signs. If you know this energy is trying to communicate something to you, rather than pushing it or rather than allowing it to be, you know, very shallow energy. No. Take a deep breath and find out, really, what are you trying to communicate with me? What is it? And then how can I prepare myself for this? Because it's coming, period. So that's today's show. I'm super duper excited about it. Like I said, this is because I think when you have an animal totem, this is like a personal experience. You know, like we have, each of us have guardian angels. These angels are with us constantly. They know everything, good, bad, and indifferent, about us. That's a personal relationship. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, as you grow, as you develop, you're like, yeah, come on, angels. We can make this thing happen. That's how I feel about my animal totems. You know, they have really been with me from before I was even aware that the clock was ticking. So I don't even want to say day one. They've been, you know, before that, well before that. And so I get excited when they come into my life, when they take the time to tell me X, Y, and Z. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So if you have had, you know, an experience with an animal totem, if you know what your animal totems are, if you'd like to share, do not hesitate. You press 1, and that lets me know that you'd like to join the conversation. And, of course, all my hellos, just want to say hello, you can press 1 too. You can press 1, and that lets me know that you would like to join into the conversation. So I hope that I get quite a few people that would like to share about the animal totems. But when we were starting the conversation, I know that I said I have 4. Of the 4, I have the owl, the wolf, the vulture, and the hummingbird. And they came into my life in that order. Very, very fierce. Very, very fierce totems. I know the owl being a predator, the wolf being a predator, the vulture just being super intimidating. I had very, very heavy totems. And when they come, they're not always singing Dixie, you know. They are, the owl is very, very intense. And in dreams and visions, sometimes that owl will come in and all I'll see is the eyes, which are these huge, big yellow eyes that are staring into your soul, and you're like, oh my goodness. So, and owls can be, you know, a lot of people are scared of owls, scared of them physically, you know, in this world and spiritually, what they stand for. You know, the owls are the keepers of mystery. You know, they hold mysteries. And also, they have been omens of death. And in many cultures, they thought, you know, the owl came and he hooted this many times and someone was going to transition. And a lot of times, it's not a death, a physical death, but it's an ending. And again, if we don't like change, no, we're not going to like to see and hear about an ending, but all good beginnings, all good beginnings start with an ending. There is an ending that was necessary to bring about this beginning. So, you know, owls have been symbols of wisdom, you know, in order to hold a mystery and know when is the right time to bring that mystery about. You've got to be wise. And when it comes to your totem, it's important that you also look at their physical capabilities. A lot about their physical capabilities will tell you a lot about their spiritual capabilities as well. So, in the owl, you know, one thing about owls, of course, they're very big eyes. They have the ability to see clearly at night. So, you know, again, when they talk about the owl, you know, looking into people's spirits and knowing all the information, knowing all the mysteries, you know, that's what an owl's eyes do. Also, owls can turn their head 360. And, you know, so they can see everything, you know. So for them, you know, that ability to peer into people is very, very strong. Also, owls have, many people don't know this, they have very few feathers. They don't have a lot of feathers. And then their feathers are very, very soft, which makes them almost impossible to hear coming. So that's how they are, you know, these great hunters. You can't hear them, you know, so they are very much, they can see everyone else, what everyone else is doing day or night, but they themselves are very stealthy, and they're able to maneuver in and out of situations very quietly without detection. So the owl, when you're talking about the owl as your totem, you know, one of the things that you get to ask yourself, if you wish, you can ask yourself, am I fighting a change? Am I sitting here fighting a change? I'm supposed to be making this change, but I don't want to. Also, when the owl comes into my life, what the owl is asking me to do is to look at this for what it is. Seven, take off those rose-colored glasses. They look good on you, but take them off and look at the situation for really what it is. Are you being fully, fully honest about what you're seeing and what this is? So these are the types of things that when you have owl as a totem and when it makes itself known to you, these are things for you to think about. And so you look at the physical signs. Also, one thing I like to do is I like to look at the predators too. You know, who are the owl predators? Humans, actually. Humans are the predators. But, you know, I like to look at if a particular owl has come to you, find out if it burrows in the ground or if it makes its home in the barn. You know, find out just the history of it. It's very, very, very difficult to get their feathers, but if you can look upon some feathers, you know, see if you can hold the feathers and have the feathers and what it the feathers feel like to you. They feel like they're softer than goose, I can tell you. And that is what makes them such strong flyers and can fly without being hurt. So that is just the owl, just the owl. You haven't gone into its mating cycle. That's important to know, because if you're with a totem that mates for life, it might be important to know that if you're having a hard time moving out of a relationship. If you're with a totem that lives in water and you are landlocked, that might make a difference as far as your happiness and the things that you have to do to kind of move away to get to your totem, to get into that natural element that you belong into. So, you know, these are just things to think about. You know, we can take this idea of animal signs and animal totems, and we can, you know, we can get deep with it. We can allow it to really, really expose us to new ideas and really allow us to embrace it. I know our Native American ancestry, they were completely inclusive when it came to the animals. Yes, they ate animals, but they also would wear the skin and the feathers in respect for the energy that this animal possessed. You know, their clans that were named after certain animals, and they took on a lot of that animal's thoughts, feelings, emotions when it came to representing their clan. So we can get as deep as we wish, because this is natural, a natural understanding. So, you know, and everyone has a totem. You know, everyone has something that they need to be relating to, need to be going a little deeper in. So don't hesitate to look into it a little bit further. I have a caller that would like to speak, so I'm going to grab my caller. Greetings, welcome to the show.
Peace, how are you?
Peace. I'm well, and yourself?
I am grand. Enjoying the show.
All right.
Very, very much.
Wonderful.
Excuse me?
I said wonderful. Do you have you had one of these experiences about the animal totems?
I did some research many moons ago, but it came back around to me when I was looking up something with the Native American and my sign and everything as far as being a Cancer. And I saw the woodpecker. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
okay.
Woodpecker? Ah, okay. I like the cartoon, but, you know, I didn't know much about it. And I knew I had to do some more research soon. And about 3 weeks ago, I ended up going to the Healing Springs to get some water, and I paid attention to the tree that I'm always standing next to, and I saw nothing but woodpecker holes. And I was like, okay, that's something I have to research some more on and get myself together in that department. Mm-hmm. So I took it as a sign for me to do more research with that. Earlier you mentioned the lion, and I wanted to share some information on that, especially when it comes to dreams. Way back in the day when kids could go to the store and buy cigarettes and all that kind of stuff for the old elders, you know, there was that wonderful thing called the number hole. Mm-hmm. And I'm laughing about it because it's just taking me so far back into so many wonderful memories. But nowadays, we'll look at it like, okay, that was completely wrong to have a child in that environment. But at that time, that, you know, you just did what you had to do. So I laughed about the number hole because it was a dream book. So I was like, oh, you dreamed about such and such? Or you dreamed about fish? Who pregnant? And, you know, it turned into a whole big story depending on what you were dreaming about. So let's say you were dreaming about the lion. And for a lion, if you are that lion and you're embracing that kindness of the lion, then it's showing you as being an assertive person, somewhat aggressive, and very, you know, this is me, hear me roar type of thing. However, in the same situation, let's say you're being chased by lions and you're normally strong and can handle stuff, but in this particular dream, you're chased by lions. It signifies, how do they put it? It signifies that someone close to you, like a partner or a supervisor or a coworker that you may seem very close to or a business partner, is being arrogant and you're fighting the battle as to whether or not to explode on this person. So now this person has indeed irritated your spirit and you are struggling with whether or not is worth being addressed, but if you don't address it, it's going to cause continuous internal turmoil. But if you do address it, it can come off with you flipping into the lion, you know, being assertive, being aggressive, because you've struggled with it for so long. So I found that to be very interesting. And also, on yesterday was one of the biggest Rastafarian holidays, which is the first day of the Leo. So July the 23rd. So it was very, very interesting that all of that came up. I just wanted to share a little fun fact about why it's such a big deal for the Rastas. On the 23rd, like I said, that is the first day of the Leo, the start of the Zodiac. And in 1892, Tafari Makinen was born. And on November the 2nd, 1937, this Ethiopian ruler was crowned His Imperial Majesty, Haile Selassie the First. And he was known as the King of Kings, Lords of Lords, Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So it's just interesting that this ended up being the topic today. And all of that happened yesterday. It was a very, very big celebration. So if I was in Brooklyn, I would have been in Prospect Park having fun. But like I said, the topic is very, very interesting. And I just wanted to share that.
Yeah.
And again,
you know,
thank you for being an inspiration to the inspirational.
Awesome. Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. We, of course, anyone that's been around me, been around either of the organization knows they're all spirit-led. They're all spirit-led, you know, so I not necessarily know about the big celebration going on and everything else like that, but the animals just were like, you have to represent for us. You have to say these things. I was like, okay, you know me. I'll say it. So, yeah. Thank you so much, sister, for sharing. That lioness is real. I think I've had one or two dreams about lioness and jaguars, and it shook me. I woke up, I was like, okay, I have a new understanding about things. So it's very important that you pay attention, you know, because they're usually coming to your life to educate you. They want to teach you, and it's really a blessing. Lord knows, oh my goodness, it's such a blessing because there are lessons I don't want to have to experience. I remember being a little girl reading about the Bible stories, and there was one story where the hand shows up and it starts writing on the wall, and I said, oh no, Lord, I can read in a book. I don't want you to write anything on the wall like that with me. So, you know, I say all that to say, you know, there are many different ways to learn, and that's just not what I think is cute at all. So when it comes to my animal signs, I pay close attention because that's how I want to learn. That's how I want to learn. And then I love nature, and I love all of the gentle subliminal messages that are shared. I have another caller, and I know this number. This is my dear sister, Omi Shayun. Let's see how she's doing. There, she's recovered from her trip. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, sis. How are you doing this evening?
I am well. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic, honey. Fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, I like the topic tonight. I've had a hawk, I believe it's a hawk, sitting on the power line outside in the backyard. And I've taken a picture of it because it was so big. And I was like, what is this? But, it's been here a couple of times. And I just, you know, like, just sit there and watch it and in awe of it. So, I see that.
Awesome.
And, you know, we have a lot of animals in our area. I was just thinking about it. But I like owls, though. So I'm a little bit fond of owls. So hopefully one day I'll get to, well, except for the zoo, I just hope. I don't know if there's any in the area or not that will come and visit me.
Well, I mean, I can tell you, I have a number of different owl feathers. They are so beautiful. If you can get your hand on one of those, they're worth the look for. Yeah, look for them. Yeah, search for them. But if you can get your hands on any of them, very nice. Very nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and keep an eye on that hawk. You know, I'm going to do some research tonight, and I'll call you and let you know what that hawk stands for. You might need to pay attention to that, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I appreciate
awesome.
That.
Yes. Yeah, sounds okay. good. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Right.
Have a blessed night.
Thank you. Thank you. Another, you know, all these birds are coming up. I know one bird that I wanted to talk to was the raven and that crow. Ravens and crows are incredibly intelligent. They are said to have the intelligence of a small child, like a 6 or 7 year old child. And I know that to be true. They are mysterious, and I think they represent divination. But animals that are black and animals that exist that are nocturnal carry a level of mystery about them, you know, because you can't really see them well, or it looks like they're covering something up or something like that. So that's where our ravens and our crows come in. But I know for a fact, me personally, how smart they are. On one of my last retreats, usually for retreats, I'm there for 3 days. And the first day, after I finish eating my part of the breakfast, I share the other part of the breakfast outside with my nature god brothers and sisters. So the ants get a little some, any birds in the area, squirrels in the area. Okay. So when we were in this particular beautiful cabin up in Ellijay, so I put the little extras out there. I noticed the crows came and ate and had their fill, and I enjoyed watching them come and to share the food. All right, so day two, everyone's there. We had a little leftover. We take it outside. We put it in the same spot. Crows come again and eat it. Day three, the crows were outside as I was cooking the breakfast. I said, it didn't take y'all long at all to realize when breakfast time is around here. So, you know, it was so funny to me to see them say, okay, it don't take us but so many times to learn that there's some extra food floating around here around this time of day. So, you know, they learn so quickly. You know, there's an Aesop fable, and a lot of times fables are true. They are just ways that we teach children about things. And the Aesop fable about the raven and the pitcher. And the story goes, it was a dry season, and they had not had had a lot of rain. And so the raven was very thirsty, and there was this pitcher, but the pitcher had a very long, narrow neck, and the water was way down below. And so the raven couldn't stick his beak in, couldn't get to the water. And so what happened is the raven started putting pebbles into the pitcher, and the water level in the pitcher rose and then finally got to the level where the raven could actually get it. So, you know, and it just, again, speaks to the intelligence of these creatures. You know, in a lot of cultures, they look at birds to carry prayers up to heaven. You know, so the idea of flight becomes, you know, a spiritual idea of the words being lifted up, you know. So I love all of this. I love reading about the way the different cultures interpret it. So it's a lot of information, lots of good information. All right, hold on for just a second. We got a caller here that would like to speak, and I want to listen. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Melissa. How are you?
Greetings, Sister Melissa. How are you?
I am good. I am good. So I got a lot of things to say about the animals, but I'm going to try to keep it very brief. However, I have to say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful retreat. It is so good now to hear a voice and know a face. So this is awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so animals. Okay, so if anybody who knows me knows there are too many people in the world and not enough animals, period, point blank, and that's how this earth is going to have to heal itself. That's number one. Yes, a lot of us can die off, and this planet will be in a better place. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel, because animals rule, okay? Now, I don't know my spirit animal. I did have a reading once, and I remember an animal being mentioned, but I cannot place it on one particular animal. But I have an affinity for the fox. I've always felt like that me and the fox got a lot going on. Just being a hairy individual, and you know how furry they are, how smart they are. I'm very cunning myself. That saying crazy like a fox, well, my initials are MAD. And I know people have kind of have no idea where I'm going with my brain, but when they see the end result, they're like, oh, okay, that was pretty smart. So I know that saying fits me. I am a predator, but I am also a scavenger, so that also fits well with a fox. And those are just, like, the main things. They tend to be on their own. They do family up, but they do tend to be on their own, so you can, you know, catch them on either side depending on how their life is gone. And, you know, they're not the biggest thing on the world, but they're pretty good for their size. You know what I mean? So that's my my affection on the fox.
I think you do know who your totem is. Yeah.
Say it again?
You can go ahead and claim that one. You can claim the fox. You can go ahead and claim that one.
I really feel like it. I really feel it. But as for, like, the birds and the fish and even the amoebas, I mean, just all kinds of stuff that is on this planet, and the beauty that they bring, even the deadly ones, the beauty that it brings, it's just animals are extremely important. They actually make the world go around. We do not. We can try. We can learn from them. We can learn so much from them. I mean, just watching the cat in the yard, you learn things. I know who my neighbor birds are. You know, there's a hummingbird that comes by my window and checks me out somewhere now. It's just amazing. So that's all I had to say. I love animals. I'm glad this is a topic. I'm paying homage right now to my passed away cat, Jack. I know he's listening.
Yay, Jack.
Spirit animals. I actually see animals in people. There's, when I look at people, sometimes an animal pops in my face, and that's just who they are. Like, there's this guy at work, and he was a grizzly bear. Like, there is no other animal he could have been. And he knew it, too.
Now, look, everyone has a science, and that might be your science. Like, some people see colors with people, you know. Yours might be understanding their true animal nature. That might be your science, honey. That might be it. If you can see it.
It might be. Because I've seen some birds. I've seen some fish. I've seen some turtles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I've seen a roach,
thank you
too.
So much.
I've seen a roach one time.
One time? Just one? If you see just one, that's the miracle part. They usually travel in packs. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in, sister. And shout out to Jack. You know, we did a little dedication earlier in the show. We'll add Jack's name into it. I got a chance to meet him once. He was a cool tabby, you know. So, yeah, shout out to our dear Jack. So we will add his name to the bunch. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, peace. Yeah, all my animal lovers. I absolutely love it. I love it. When it comes to understanding, you know, like Sister Melissa said, she didn't know who her totem was. Yes, she did. All, you know, do you see the way that fox had just kind of, her and that fox had wrapped themselves around each other? You know, she knew and had an understanding and appreciation and a patience. Because foxes are tricky, you know, they got a little something with them. You know, I'd be like, look, keep all your paws up front where I can see them. So, you know, this is just something about these animals. That energy is also with the coyote, too. And so when you're dealing with that coyote energy, you have to really, really be fully aware because they're not that big. They're not as big as wolves. But they don't have the ethics that the wolves have either. Coyotes like, look, I'm here to eat, and if it's you, it's you. So, you know, those foxes in the hen house, they there to take care of business, you know. So, yeah, you'd be surprised what part of you interacts with this animal totem. I know, like with me, when the wolf comes, that's a warning, okay? Do not play around. Don't ask no questions. You follow orders, period. When the wolf comes to me, it's not laughing and rolling around or nothing. It's growling. And I'm like, okay, all right. I'm listening. You know, whatever I need to do, I'm doing it because I'm not trying to have you lash out at me. So, you know, even the way our totems interact with us tells us something. When I have danger approaching, that wolf will come and make itself extremely present. And I'm not scared of it, but I'm not going over there, and it makes me back up. And in backing up, I find that I'm moving away from a dangerous situation. So I'm ever so thankful. Once I get over the shock that this wolf is right here, you know, I am ever so grateful that, because I can see the danger I just averted. So, you know, it's very important that if your animal totem is a predator, you have to understand what side of this predator you stand on. When it comes to the wolf, I'm on the sheep side, okay? So I need to be aware of what this wolf is trying to say, and I need to comply as soon as possible. Because that's who the wolf is in my life, you know? So I have another caller here that would like to speak. Let me grab the phone lines. And these phone lines are popping. Family, greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Alafia, how are you?
Alafia, how are you? Is this the bush woman?
You know it. Woo, woo.
How are you? Have you recovered?
Everybody. Oh my goodness.
Yes,
the
ma'am.
Heat.
Yes.
The heat.
Yes, I told you.
But it was
the hottest
hot.
Day
I
of the
mean,
year.
It was, man, I mean, the spirit was hot. The weather was hot.
Yes.
You know, the
yes.
people were hot. We was just, it was just, a, it was just beautiful. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a beautiful,
mm-hmm.
beautiful experience. I wanted to add on to the topic for the night, which is very beautiful. our animals. And for me, my totem, everybody knows that I love elephants. I always have. You know, they've always been a part of my life, and I identify with their power and their beauty and, you know, how they live in the bush and, you know, their strength and their longevity, their stamina. You know, I find those characteristics in myself, you know, and they're loving and compassionate and very family-oriented. So, and mammals, actually. Yeah. You know,
awesome.
Elephants, you know, I mean, they keep up with everybody. You know, they keep up with even if it's not their own, you're going to fall in line. We come here together.
Yes.
We're going to go together. We're going to eat together. We're going to fight together.
Yes.
So, you know, I can identify with, you know, animals so much. Also, talking earlier about dreams, like you have animals that pop up in your dreams and different things like that. Being that I'm studying more about and being at the water and at the beach this weekend was so beautiful. And one of the animals that's associated with Yemija is the dolphin.
Yeah.
And she is well, actually, the dolphins, mermaids, and swans are her sign. And they're actually good guardians for a person that is searching. So if you are searching for anything and you see a dolphin, that's Yemija. You know, they guide you and they guide people through the water. If you think about dolphins, if you're on a boat, they'll follow. They'll follow you through the water. They're one of the most timid animals that you can deal with, that you can actually go up to and pet. And they use them a lot in different shows or, you know, different things like that. They're highly intelligent, very, very intelligent. And dolphins are one of the mammals that can actually go high, can breathe above water, but they can actually go really, really deep, you know, into the ocean and parts that you can't see. And they are just dynamic. I just want to share some information about if you happen to have a dream about a dolphin. So to see dolphins in your dreams symbolizes spiritual guidance, intelligence, and mental attributes, and emotional trust. A dream usually is an inspirational one, encouraging you to utilize your mind and its capability to move forward and upward in life. Alternatively, it suggests that a line of communication has been established between the conscious and the subconscious aspects of yourself. Dolphins represent their willingness and ability to explore and navigate through your emotions. So if you see a dolphin in your dream, you're actually... that's your spirit guide.
Okay, so it's safe to follow the dolphin. So is it safe to follow the dolphin?
Encouraging you to move between your spirit, your conscious and your subconscious. In some cultures, especially with the, when you think about the pirates and back in the days, they used to have dolphins in their halls, which were symbolic to for protection. So they kept pictures and images of dolphins around. And the personality and characteristics of dolphins, or anybody that has a dolphin as a spirit guide, will be playfulness, gentleness, harmony, intelligence, friendship, community, generosity, power. So those are like some different characteristics of people that have dolphins as a spirit guide. So I just want to share that because I think they're beautiful and they're smart and
they're
so cute.
Well, actually, I had one of them scare Brother Ibrahim over the weekend. And you would think a dolphin's not scary, but it surprised him because all he saw was the fin. He said, Is that a shark? I said, shark. Shark. It's a dolphin. And it was like a mother and a child. And you could see that they were kind of swimming. They were black. And, you know, but it was a dolphin. And, you know, not many animals we get to interact with in real life. So when you see one, it's amazing, you know. I love turtles. I don't know if they're a totem or not, but I love them. I love their ancientness, their wisdom, and I love how much they get to hide themselves. You know, they're sitting there in a shell. You don't know how tall they are. You don't know how big they are. You know how long their legs are. I'm like, I could have a 6-foot turtle come out this shell. I don't know, because there's a big old shell hiding everything. But I love that about them. And I'm saying it on the radio. I'm going scuba diving with sea turtles this fall. Cross the fingers. So, yeah. I want to see them in their natural habitat. I want to experience them in their world, you know? And so when we're talking about animal signs, you know, part of that pull for that turtle is same with the elephant, is that an ancient wisdom, you know what I'm saying? And that elephant, I love that elephant too, because I love to see those little baby elephant little videos. Oh, my God, because the mother elephants don't ever let that baby get too far, but the baby tries anyways. And, I mean, it is so beautiful to see them. You know, we think of them as animals, but really they are a family, a very strong family. So, well, thank you, Bushwoman, for calling in and sharing with us. Greatly appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
You are more than welcome. I love all this knowledge on the radio. It's amazing to me. You know, you put a request out, hey, I would love to, you know, talk about these animals, you know, that mean so much to in our lives, whether they are pets, whether they are spiritually guiding us on our journeys, no matter what they're doing, it's a wonderful experience. And so, you know, learning a little bit more about these experiences and how far they can go really helps us understand how far we could go. So I absolutely adore it. I'm going to grab another caller I got here. Ending in 2353. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mama Seven.
This is my Minnie Mouse.
Yeah. How you doing?
Greetings. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Heard everybody, you know.
Are you aware?
What was that now?
Go ahead. Please continue.
I was just hearing everybody talking about different dreams and stuff like that. And maybe about a month or so ago, I was going through a rough patch where I was very angry. And I had a dream about a raging bull charging at me. And I am a Taurus, so it sort of, you know, took me by surprise a little bit. So I went ahead and researched it. And when I did that, it was basically telling me that it was depicting me, how I was being looked at by others. And I'm like, wow, am I really, you know, that scary when I get angry? So it just made me reevaluate some things and, you know, try to be a little bit more mellow and let go of all of that anger and everything like that. But I just wanted to share that because, you know, it really meant a lot to me and it helped me to change some things about myself.
That's wonderful. Yeah, also, in that kind of situation, being a Taurus, it would make me think, you know, am I fighting against myself? You know what I'm saying? Am I being, you know, hard in my... Am I trying to hurt myself in some of these decisions that are coming up? So, yeah, it's very important. Again, zodiac sign could correlate with our animal totem and everything like that. So, absolutely. I'm so glad you called in, honey. I'm so glad you called in and that you're paying attention. You're paying
yes,
attention to those things because they're trying to tell you something. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We'll talk more soon, right?
Yes, ma'am. You have a great day.
All right. You too. All right. Peace. She's just sweetie. So, but yeah. So we've heard all kind of totems, dreams, visions. And one thing about whenever I have an experience within this animal totem realm, it is very real for me. It is, you know, it is like I've been transported there. It is not a, you know, sometimes dreams, it's like you're looking at them and you're watching them. And then there's like visions where you can like feel the sweat from the bull breathing on you, you know, and you're like, wait a minute. So, you know, sometimes the information is so real. And when you are interacting in a primal way with a primal animal, you will remember that. You know, I had an experience with an alligator 2-3 weeks ago. Woke myself up, you know, huffing and puffing, you know, woke up like, okay, you know, and that stayed with me. I think, you know, because we ourselves are animals, I think when we have these experiences with these other animals that it becomes, you know, a part of us, you know, it almost transfers into us, you know. And so it becomes real, and the lesson to me is a lot easier to absorb because it's not your brain necessarily receiving the information. It is your entire spirit that is receiving the information, and it is very, very real. So, I just want to encourage everyone. If you haven't spent that time, spend the time researching it, you know, and don't second guess yourself. When you realize, when you, you know, find this affinity towards a particular animal, when you find you're collecting pieces of this animal, I have quite a collection of feathers. I love feathers. I started collecting not long ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and I have, you know, when someone wants to give me a present, they find a feather, you know, find a feather, you know, from a white turkey to wild turkeys to raccoon pelts to porcupine quills to, I have a collection of feathers. Now, recently, I just got a horseshoe crab. Oh, I mean, I'm like, when I saw that, I said, oh, my God. And then it turned out to be for me. I absolutely love it. It goes well with my collection of different aspects of the animal. And when I'm collecting these different aspects of animals, I'm doing it, you know, to develop a relationship with these different aspects. I am, you know, wanting to build my relationship. I want to know more about this animal, and sometimes we learn more by, you know, having experiences with them. And sometimes we're not always, because of some of the things we have learned through either movies or TV or whatever, we can be scared of animals. One animal that gets a bad rap all the time is the snake. There are a lot of people scared of snakes, lots. But snakes are actually used for healing, okay? And just like in the medical staff, if you ever look like with the ambulance and on most of the hospitals, you see a staff and you see the two snakes swirl around the staff. Snakes have always symbolized healing opportunities, okay? But because they move differently than us, they are really misunderstood by most people. You know, I've had a couple of dreams of snakes there are a couple of cultures that use snakes in their, actually they use snake and they use the snake venom for spiritual experiences, rituals, and everything else like that. But even that is of a medical, of a medical science, you know. So, you know, most of us, if a snake walked into this room, I promise you I'd be walking out of it, not through the door. You know, we're going to have a whole different kind of problem going on. But that's not what they're about. They are truly about healing. They are about change. You know, the snakes, they shed their skin. So when it's time for them, when they're ready for the new, they take off their whole skin. You know, when you know, when snakes are eating, they unhinge their jaws and swallow the being that they're eating whole. And then eventually they either regurgitate or they pass out the bones and the fur and all this other stuff. But also, when snakes come into our life, we have to look at some of our own sensitivities. Are we being too sensitive about something? Is there something that we need to be looking at with more sensitivity? You know, so whenever a snake comes into your life, you know, first thing that I would question is the health, your physical health. Is there a healing opportunity that you're passing up? And then the next thing is spirit snakes are also often guides. They will take you on trips from one realm to another. So they're known for being spiritual guides in that spirit realm. So, and like I said, a lot of cultures heavily use snakes. And so we know about the snakes in the basket, you know, the man's playing the music. You know, snakes have always had a spiritual connotation about them, but also very much a healing aspect. So a lot of the spiritual understandings people have are for healing, you know. So if you have healing going on, you may need to have a relationship with this snake. So, you know, also, you know, because they're so close to the ground, a lot of people with earth signs, if you are an earth being and you have this snake as a totem, you know, there's a lot that you may need to understand about the way you're traveling on the earth. You might have to switch up your walk from, you know, if you were going to hit something dead on and you were going to go straight and confront it and attack it, and a snake comes into picture, that might mean that, well, let's look at this another angle, because snakes don't move forward straight. They kind of move to the side to even to achieve a straight goal. So whenever that snake comes in and I see that snake energy around someone, you know, it's time for them to, you know, not necessarily look at things so directly, but to look at possibly another angle to achieve the same goal that they're looking for. So that snake becomes very, very important in our healings, in our understandings. And but yet, if we are only allowing our fears to guide us, then we're going to totally miss that one. We're going to totally miss that one. We're going to say, okay, no, that's not important. Oh, I had a bad dream. And it doesn't have to be a bad dream if you can take a second and look into it a little deeper. So, and I think in almost every culture there is a snake deity or a half snake, half woman. You know, there's always a snake god. And so, you know, there's always that there. And that is always, not always, but usually about healing. That is a deity that will help us learn about, you know, what we need to do for our own healing, especially self-healing, which is ever so important. Everybody knows. Well, I want to thank everyone for their time and energy. This has been a wonderful show. It gave us the opportunity to shout out our fur babies that we love so much, that have, you know, transitioned from us, but, you know, are definitely still with us in one form or another. And, I absolutely love it. I greatly appreciate it. Now we're getting to one of my favorite parts of the show, okay? And it's so very important. I say this every show. And one of the reasons why is because I cannot stress enough how important it is to have that prayer life in place. I cannot stress enough how important it is that you have that personal relationship with God, that God knows your voice and you know his. You know, we have to get to the point where we are building, that we're growing, that we are insisting on better for ourselves and for others. So when we are making these prayers, a lot of times, and there's a couple types of prayer, okay? And we've had shows on prayer before, so I know that we have spoken this, but for whoever I'm saying these extra words for, you know, let's be patient. Prayer has a definite formula. Prayer is supposed to be words from you in your heart, in your situation, going up to God, and either in praise or requesting help or just building a relationship. And so there are many people that say, oh, you know, I don't know how to pray. And I'm like, praying can be easy, but if you are out of, I want to say out of prayer shape, if you have moved away from prayer, if you have kind of moved away from it, then, you know, I would like you to reach out to me either on Facebook on the page or on my personal Facebook, or if you have my phone number, you call me. I have a little prayer book, little handy notebook of prayers. And this is so small. It's just maybe 20, 25 of my favorite prayers. You know, prayers that meant something to me. And when I wrote it, I remember writing it like, number one, I'm not an expert on prayer. I'm not in a position to say, okay, you know, this is the prayer, blah, blah. I'm not that. At the same time, when my intention was just to make it easier for someone else to get into their prayer life and make it easier for someone else, where sometimes picking up a religious book may be intimidating with all the hows, thens, thys, you know, just grabbing a small section of that might be easier. You know, so when I thought about just trying to create more ease in the whole prayer process, then I was like, okay, I'm all right. So the little handy notebook of prayer is just called In God's Words, okay? And so this prayer that we do on the radio, and I love to rotate it. If you want to have your voice heard, making prayer, which is an awesome blessing. It's a blessing. Please reach out so we can get that done and put that in place. I know from the weekend, you know, Mama Khadija, every time it's time for prayer, morning prayer, afternoon prayer, evening prayer, prayer for food, prayer, you know, prayer for meals or whatever, we rotate that. We're rotating the blessing. We're rotating people having the opportunity to have their voice be heard, you know, and also, you know, getting a little practice. Sometimes if, you know, once you do it once, when you do it twice, it's like, hey, this is really easy. It's really second nature. Sometimes we move away from prayer. We don't say it enough where we fall out of the habit. And just someone saying, hey, why don't you make prayer? Why, you know, I'd love to hear you make prayer, and, you know, I'll be the amen to your prayer. And that makes such a big difference to people. And sometimes you don't know, you could be inspiring them to get on their path, you know? So, you know, I take a lot of pride in this moment. I take a lot of joy in it, and I encourage others to allow yourself to be heard in these moments, okay? So moving into this prayer, this is a prayer for peace. No explanation needed. All right. May all beings everywhere plagued with suffering of body and mind quickly be freed from their illness. May those frightened cease to be afraid, and may those bound be free. May the powerless find power. May people think of befriending one another. May those who find themselves in trackless, fearful wilderness, the children, the aged, the unprotected, be guarded by beneficial celestials, and may they swiftly attain enlightenment. Amen. Thank you for listening.